In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Dearly beloved in the Lord, today Jesus weeps. Tears flow down. He is a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. For he sees the holy city that he is approaching. He has just made beginnings of his triumphal entry. This is Palm Sunday, and he sees the city, and he cannot contain himself. For he loves that holy city. It is the city of the great king. It is the great city of all the great kings of David and his sons. And now the Messiah himself approaches that city. And he knows that they have rejected him and will not have him. And so he weeps. He weeps over the city, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. What a tragic day this was. The peacemaker has arrived, and the things that make for the peace between heaven and earth are right before their eyes. What are the things that make for their peace, the things that make for your peace? Behold the approaching sacrifice himself. Well, that is why it was necessary, as he told his disciples on more than one occasion, for him to go up to Jerusalem and be handed over to the chief priests and the elders and to be crucified and the third day to rise again from the dead. They didn't want him to go. He knew he must. He knew this was his reason for coming to earth in the first place, to be the sin bearer that reconciles man to God, as the children knew when they cried out at his holy triumphal entry, peace in heaven and on earth. The peace of heaven has come to earth in the sin bearer who comes with the things that make for peace, namely his own body, given into death willingly, freely, lovingly for these and all people, for you, to shed his sacred blood. And they didn't know it. They rejected it, in fact. They wanted nothing to do with him. Oh, they missed it. Here, Jerusalem, out of all the cities in the world, is the city he, the Son of God, the Messiah, visits to redeem, and they're blind. And because they didn't know it, and because they rejected it and rejected him, therefore there is to befall them a most egregious fate. And he knows this. He says, the reason for his weeping, days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you and surround you and close you in on every side and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not know the time of your visitation. He's predicting something that happened actually only 37 years later. The 10th Sunday after Trinity is historically a Sunday when Josephus, or a portion of him, is read to the people. He was an ancient Christian historian who wrote of what happened on August 10th in the year 70 and the days and years leading up to that fateful day, the day when all of Jesus' words here came true. Here is a summary of what Josephus wrote about that. The Jews always proved to be the most rebellious people in the Roman Empire during the days of the apostles. They were warned never again to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem or fortify their city. But during the 60s of the first century, while Rome experienced internal troubles, the Jews rebuilt their walls and fortified the city. In the year 66, the emperor Nero sent Decius Florus and his legions to subdue the city. The Jews killed them and 5,000 of his men. This angered Rome very much. They sent Flavius Vespasianus with his legions to deal with the city. Vespasian and his troops moved to Jerusalem, but Vespasian was recalled to Rome because he was elected emperor, and so Titus, his son, took over as commander of Vespasian's men. At the time of the Passover in the year 70, about 1 million Jews were gathered in Jerusalem. During the next 5 months, Jerusalem was totally overcome and destroyed. They destroyed themselves. There were three parties in the city who were jealous of each other and did not trust each other. They destroyed each other's food supplies and homes. Thus, the Jews became their own worst enemies. Jerusalem was circled by three strong walls. With great effort and at great expense, the Romans conquered wall after wall. Then they went after the temple. It was burned to the ground, August 10th, 70 AD. Then 900,000 Jews were killed, most of them crucified. They ran out of space on the walls for crucifixions. There were not enough walls to crucify the many Jews they killed, or they starved, or they were sold as quarry slaves. Only about 100,000 survived. So desperate did they become that they killed and ate their own babies. Others ate their own excrement or cow dung. Some were found dead with hay in their mouths. After the city was conquered, a soldier detected a Jew extracting gold coins from his own excrement. This gave birth to the rumor that the starving Jews had swallowed their gold. Thousands of Jews were cut open alive for the gold. Thus, the most beautiful city of the East was destroyed, just as our Lord had repeatedly foretold it. No wonder he wept. He knew what was coming, and he couldn't contain himself because they did not know the time of their visitation by God in the flesh. And so this happened a mere 40 years later. Perhaps it's a good time to talk about the meaning of the vengeance of God, of his wrath. How are we to process that awareness that God is a vengeful, wrathful God? His wrath is nothing other than the direct proportion of his love. For his wrath is pent up because of what his enemies do to his beloved. The degree of his love for his own is matched by the degree of his wrath toward his enemies. And who is more beloved of the Father than the Son, Jesus Christ? So they crucified him. They mocked him, they beat him, and they crucified and buried him. And nothing happened to them. They got away with it, or so it would seem. But they did not. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. And in a pitiful irony, he repaid thousands of them by crucifying them through the arms of the Roman emperor. And this destruction of Jerusalem, we need to understand, is nothing other than a foretaste of the day of judgment of the whole world, which is surely yet to come. Why? because God is a righteous judge. Mercy and truth are met together in Jesus and in his atoning sacrifice, but where you do not receive that sacrifice, there is nothing left for you. For only that sacrifice, only that is the things that make for peace. Without it, you are doomed. And if you reject and mistreat Christ or his people, he will not forget. And there is quite literally hell to pay. In fact, think about this. You who are in Christ are also, because of that, beloved of the Father. You bear his name. You are his dear children, his siblings, his brothers and sisters. Do not think for a moment that when you or any other Christians are mistreated for their faith, that God will forget about that. He is paying attention. As Jesus said on another occasion, see to it that you do not despise one of these little ones who believe in me, for I tell you that their angels also behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. His love for you is fierce, so fierce that he will not abide your mistreatment, though perhaps for a time. There will be a reckoning, which is why it is necessary for everyone to repent. So Jesus goes into the city, but what does he find there in the temple, the very place where repentance is supposed to be preached to the poor people? Instead, there's a bunch of gaggle of thieves buying and selling as though it were a marketplace. And Jesus can't stand it. He loses his temper. He turns over their tables. He makes a whip. He drives them all out. And he shouts at them, my Father's house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. He will not abide this. So he drives them out, and he replaces them with himself. As we are told here, he was teaching daily in the temple. But the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him and were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. So here's the message for you today. Take this example to heart. Be very attentive to hear him and know the things that make for your peace, the only things that make for your peace and your defense against that most terrible day of days, of which the destruction of Jerusalem is merely a foretaste. For that day approaches. It will come upon all the earth, and all the families of the nations of the world shall mourn. But we, who have within us the things that make for peace, who receive those things at the altar, his body and his blood are here for you to receive in faith today, which means none other than this for you. This today, this place, this hour, this is the day of your visitation. He is here now. He has come triumphantly into your city now, and this holy house. So approach with gladness of heart and faith and thankfulness, knowing that by the grace of God, oh, thank God 1,000 times that you have been given to know the things that make for your peace, and might know that the Lord visits you today with his grace and everlasting salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.